You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. For every 1,000 babies born in Michigan, nearly 7 will not live to their first birthday. And that rate is more than double for African American and Native American babies. As part of its new effort to move the needle on infant mortality, Michigan is tailoring solutions to different communities. Today we meet two women addressing the challenge of infant mortality in very different parts of the state. Leslie Welch is a senior public health lecturer at Wayne State University and a consultant currently leading the development team for Birth Detroit, a women's wellness and birth center. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Bethany Brown is a certified nurse midwife and assistant director of the nursing program at Central Michigan University. She's part of the state's regional infant mortality task force for parts of Central Michigan. Welcome.
It's great to be here.
So, Leslie, I'm going to start with you because I know there are so many programs in the Detroit area that have been working on infant and maternal health, trying to make a dent in the numbers for infant mortality for African-American babies, which stands at what in Detroit?
In Detroit, our infant mortality rate is actually 14.2. And so it is, you know, more than twice our number for the state.
So when you think of this racial gap, where are the gaps that need to be filled in?
I think that what is important for everybody to understand is that there is no magic bullet quick fix, that we really have to have the difficult conversations about race and racism and about the political and social economic conditions of women's lives. And so from a public health perspective, we know that that means that addressing the context of people's lives is critically important. And so we have to come at the issue from a political perspective, a community perspective, and a care perspective. All three are very important.
And we think about the city of Detroit and the surrounding areas. They're home to a lot of hospitals and a lot of medical offices, but there are still problems with access to adequate prenatal care. Why is that?
I think there are still challenges around that because there are still challenges in general around families' lives and transportation, right? And so we know that we need to address the challenges, the larger challenges that families are having, whether it be around income levels and poverty, whether it is housing, whether it's transportation access. Those larger factors complicate how women are able to access the care that exists.
Wayne County has a much higher number of infant deaths, but it's actually Isabella County with the highest infant mortality rate in our state. Bethany, what is driving that high rate of infant mortality in Isabella?
Well, Isabella County is a different world. It's much different than the Detroit area. I originally started my practice in Muskegon Heights, Michigan, as a nurse midwife and women's health nurse practitioner. Then came over here to the middle of the state, and some of the situations like transportation and resources are still a huge problem, like they are for Detroit and for Muskegon. But here in Isabella County, we have space, lots of space and limited providers. And that causes problems when you don't have money for transportation, you don't have money for gas, for phone, to get adequate care. In Isabella County in 2017, the infant mortality rate was 11.7, the second highest in our state. We have to look at things like implicit bias for the different populations of people that are here. And that needs to start at the education level, how we train our healthcare providers. And that's going to be a huge undertaking, but it is so very important. And I see this in medicine and nursing starting to change. But yes, definitely an issue. And we actually started at CMU a street medicine clinic where we take care of the homeless. And we've had a large influx of pregnant women, high-risk pregnant women, not only because they're homeless, but for other medical reasons as well, that just go unnoticed, uncared for. So definitely an issue.
When you say implicit bias, what is that? Can you give us an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah, so an implicit bias is when a person has these upbringings and beliefs that they may not be completely aware of, and it shapes how we make decisions and care for people. We can't control how we were raised and the environment we were raised in. But when we start to realize that it affects how we take care of people, then we can start making better decisions for their care. So we're doing a lot of implicit bias training in the state of Michigan. It's hard for physicians and nurses to take time off of work and do this. That's why I say it's going to take time, it's going to take patience, and it's going to take starting at the training level within our university systems.
And Leslie, you kind of opened the door to this a bit earlier, talking about the problem of racism as a factor in the health disparities that impact African Americans. Can you explain to us a little bit more about how racism plays this role in infant mortality?
Yes. I think one of the best ways I've heard it put, this issue, is that our disparities that we're seeing in infant mortality and maternal mortality are symptoms of a society that does not value all women and children equally. And that really is the core of racism. Is that we have, you know, created this false belief in a hierarchy of human value. And it impacts our distribution of resources and opportunity based on race, which has no biological basis. And it creates the larger inequities in the context of our lives. And then when we look at care, we notice differences in how providers listen to or don't listen to, acknowledge or minimize the pain of women, ignore symptomology, disregard decisions and wishes, all around race. And so it is critical that we address both how and why racism is part and parcel of the larger challenges we see, right, around our income levels, housing, poverty, and so forth. But also, even when we take that away and we look at Black women or women of color in general, who may have economic means, who may have education, and may have all of the access in the world, we are still treated differently based on race. And we have seen in one of the most public cases, in the case of Serena Williams, who has all of the resources in the world, that she was challenged to have her providers listen to her care concerns and challenges immediately following her pregnancy. And so we have to acknowledge and move beyond this idea that we could just coordinate and integrate services, to understand that we also have to address respect and rights and freedom and quality and culturally responsive health care.
Cindy, this is also a factor in Isabella County. And when we look at maternal mortality along with the infant mortality, what we see here is a lack of primary care. And so a lot of these women have some chronic conditions that just aren't taken care of, and then they get pregnant and they get very sick. So again, opening up the doors to providers and coming up with resources and programs that help support people to come to the rural areas to care for people is very important.
And Bethany Brown, how does that echo what you see in Isabella County, which is home to the reservation of the Saginaw Chippewa Tribal Nation? Native American babies in our state face very high rates of infant mortality. What are the challenges for that population?
Correct. The challenges are the same as we would look at racial disparities in the same way. Their beliefs, their cultures are different than a lot of the providers that are out there providing the care, and sometimes are not respected and disregarded. And we're not making an effort to work with the family, work with the woman and her child, to come up with the best plan of care that is surrounds their needs and their issues and what's important to them. Not necessarily always what we see as a priority, but what they see as a priority is we have to start at that point. We also deal with, because it's in the middle of Michigan and it's very rural, we deal with lack of being able to get to the people. So we're looking at, in Isabella County, grants and other things that may help us to provide mobile prenatal care or certified nurse midwives that will integrate. They're trained in dealing with the at-risk population and getting out to their houses and the places where they're at and meeting the patients in their home where they're at, and having a better understanding of the issues that are more important to them.
And certainly when we think of the rural community, you can't not think of the impact of the opioid epidemic on rural parts of our state. So does that have an impact when it comes to maternal and infant health in Isabella and surrounding counties?
Absolutely. The opioid epidemic is a huge problem, and not only because the people who are addicted to these drugs have health issues, and then the infants also will have surrounding health issues when they're born, but also because that just compounds the implicit bias problems we have with providers, doctors, nurses, physician assistants, etc., is that they have these beliefs about addiction that may not even be true, or they may not even realize themselves, and that further provides an opportunity for bad service and bad care for these patients who just need some understanding and some help.
If you just joined us, we're talking about addressing the problem of infant mortality in two different parts of the state. From Detroit, we're talking with Leslie Welch, and from central Michigan, in the middle of Michigan, Isabella County, we're talking with Bethany Brown, both of them public health workers who are trying to bring down that infant mortality rate. And I want to kind of dig into what's making a difference when it comes to making things better for moms and their babies. Leslie, what do you see that's working in Detroit?
So I think one of the beautiful things about Detroit is that we do have such a rich community of programs, initiatives, organizations, and providers working around this issue, actually over 100. And we have a strong community also of midwives, of doulas, and community birth advocates. And one of the recent initiatives is Hope Starts Here, an initiative of the Kellogg Foundation and Kresge Foundations. And their vision is that by 2027, Detroit will be a city that puts its children and families first. And they have put together a multidisciplinary collaborative effort around six different strategy areas to improve the lives of families with the focus on the first 8 years of children's lives. And I think that that is critically important. And we also have folks who have been at work in the community for a very long time with programs like Healthy Start, the Women Inspired Neighborhood Network, Black Mothers Breastfeeding Association, and in the last few years, Sister Friends Detroit. I'd also add that we can do more as well to leverage community-based midwifery here in Detroit. And so we have an organization, Metro Detroit Midwives of Color, that's working to improve the diversity of the midwifery community and enhance care that women receive. And I'm also a part of now a local effort called Birth Detroit that is working to develop a community-based women's wellness and birth center here in the city.
So having that birthing center, that right there for women to really focus on, what's it going to take to get that? And what difference do you hope that could make?
It will take a lot of capital fundraising and investment to make it a reality, both in terms of physical space, provider pay, and program development. And our hope and our vision is that we can make the midwifery model of care that we know, you know, works well in hospitals. And also, we know that community-based midwifery care starts to diminish some of the disparities that we see in the maternal infant health outcomes. And we hope to make the model of care available to all birthing persons in the city, regardless of ability to pay.
And Bethany, what's working in Isabella County and mid-Michigan? What are some of the most effective initiatives?
Well, Leslie, I have to tell you, I'm extremely jealous because I went to the University of Michigan and did a lot of work on the east side of the state. And then I moved back home to Muskegon and then now in the middle of Michigan. And we don't have the resources or the people that you do. And we definitely are behind times when it comes to care in a lot of places. When it, you know, I would practice at U of M and then I came over to West Michigan, and we were 5-6 years behind what I was doing over there. So it's very frustrating for me at times because getting the interdisciplinary care team together to work on it can be quite difficult around here. We definitely need to strive to integrate nurse midwifery care as a collaborative practice. There's not a lot of it here in the middle of Michigan or in the west upper side of Michigan. And we need to get more people politically involved in the health and well-being of women and children. The state of Michigan is doing that with their maternal infant health equity collaboration. And as being part of that for Region 5, we are looking at bringing different kinds of people to the table and trying to get a good representation of who we serve. So I hope that's a huge first step to understanding exactly all the problems that we need to solve or what we need to pay attention to. And we start to look at different ways in a different care model than the usual to provide services to people who are in these rural areas.
The state has set an ambitious goal of zero preventable infant deaths, zero health disparities. How long, first of all, do you think that will happen? Will the state reach that goal? And how long do you think it would take to do that? What do you think, Leslie?
I think that it can be done. I think that the truth is, as a state, as a nation, we know we can do better. We also know what it takes to do better, right? And so if we commit to intentionally working on improving the context of families' lives, like improving their economic opportunity, improving housing, childcare, pay equity, those things in combination with improving our care systems and enforcing or promoting standards of respectful care at birth and really leveraging community-based models of care and meeting families where they are. We can absolutely do that. There's no reason to think we can't.
Bethany Brown, you get the last word.
Oh, man. Yes, we can do that. And it has to start with respecting women and respecting that women come from a diversity of situations, not just their racial backgrounds, but how they grew up and what they know. And if you don't meet the woman where she is and take into account the things that truly matter to her, you're not going to help solve the problem she has with her family and help protect the health of herself and the well-being of her child. So we can do better at being more involved in starting more initiatives to look at women and the diversity that they bring to the state. And if we do that and we truly respect the humanity of families, I think Michigan can improve that.
Two of the advocates working very, very hard on behalf of moms and their babies in our state, Leslie Welch working in Detroit and Bethany Brown working in mid-Michigan in Isabella County. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.